Well, good morning. I am familiar to a lot of you. I'm Charles Hodges. I'm a family physician. I've been practicing medicine in the state of Indiana for 50 years now. I got a letter from the Indiana State Medical Association congratulating me for persistence. They said it was a marvelous thing that for the last 50 years, and it kind of amazed me that I had been ministering to the needs of the citizens of the state of Indiana and had been serving God doing so. I was just sort of flabbergasted that they'd say something good about serving God in a letter that came from that organization. Anyway, yes, they even sent me a gold-plated pen. I know it's only gold-plated because gold is $5,000 an ounce. Couldn't be much better than that. So that has given me the opportunity to observe the growth, the invention and the growth and the progression of ADHD as a problem in the United States. And in fact, my career spans roughly when it was invented and as it has come forward. So let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, God, I come before you now. God, I ask that you'd enable me to do this. I know I can't do it unless you do. And then, Lord, I pray that I might offer something that will be useful to the folks who've come. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember the first time I spoke in public about ADHD. It was at the NANC conference that happened up in Chicago at what was then Harvest Bible Chapel. And I learned a great deal that day. I learned that I have the ability to make people absolutely outrageously angry with me just by opening my mouth. I don't even have to work at it. I think it was a character trait that I was born with. The mouth of fools spouts folly. But at any rate, I started learning that if I was going to be able to speak about something, I had to say it in a way that didn't make people want to tear my clothes off and set me on fire before I got done. Because that was my experience that day. By the time I got done talking, there were people lining up to beat me after the lecture. Anyway, so that was my first experience. I'm hoping not to repeat that this morning. The ADHD, I'm not going to spend a ton of time going through the criteria for ADHD. I put it in your notes on purpose so that you could read it at your convenience. The diagnosis, of course, most of what's been written in biblical counseling about ADHD has been written about children. And, you know, the problem, of course, is, as I noted, when I started into medical school and was in medical school and was at Riley Hospital in Indianapolis, Riley Hospital for Children, they were just beginning to talk about attention deficit disorder and what might be done about it. And Ritalin and dextroamphetamine were first being used for children at that time. Of course, the problem is what's happened in those 50 years is that they grew up. And now, instead of dealing with children who have ADHD, we're dealing with adults who have ADHD. Going through the criteria, the core definition is a persistence of inattention and or hyperactivity, impulsivity. And in most of the reading that I do when it comes to adults, it has to do with the ability to focus on a subject and then make a good decision about it or take a good action about it. That seems to be the main problem for adults. You have to have one or the other. Additional criteria is that the age of onset has to be before 12 years. I'm going to take a couple quotes out of an article by a lady who wrote in the Wall Street Journal, one of my favorite medical journals. Get lots of good information out of it. But at any rate, the title of her article is that I discovered that I had ADHD at 44 years. But at any rate, the symptoms are supposed to occur before 12 years of age. It has to be in more than one spot. You know, it can't be just at school, it can't be just at work, and it can't be just at home. It needs to be in two different places. And that way you avoid making assumptions about what you're seeing in individuals. It's sort of like when we went to the parent-teacher conference, those dreaded events in life, and particularly the first one. And it was the first one for our son, Jeff. And we were had prepared ourselves for it because Jeff was kind of a social person. He, you know, we couldn't conceive of the idea that he would sit quietly any place for any period of time. And so we were expecting to get the drill when we showed up in the teacher's, in the office with the teacher. And the lady starts talking, and she's talking about how quiet and how respectful and how hardworking the boy was. And, you know, after she'd gone on for a few minutes, I said, "Now, wait a second. We're Helen and Charlie Hodges, and we're talking about Jeff." You know, because what I was hearing from her about how he was acting at school had no correspondence with what I would see at home. Hence, if you're going to identify somebody as having ADHD, you have to have two spots for where it occurs. Then, impairment. It has to impair somebody. Just because you have trouble focusing, the lady who wrote the article that I'm going to tell you about in a moment in the Wall Street Journal had graduated with an MBA from someplace, you know, and it's like you're going, how impaired are you? You know, it's like if you can make it all the way through high school and all the way through college and all the way through graduate school, tell me how you're impaired. Anyway, there has to be clear evidence that the symptoms interfere with or reduce the quality of social or academic or occupational functioning. The lady who wrote the article would say that she was on a trip to Mexico, and one of the people on the tour with her happened to be a psychologist, and they got to talking about how she related to other people and how she made relationships, and it was from that she was so diagnosed. So that was the area of impairment. The other, an exclusion is you can't have another significant problem such as schizophrenia or a psychotic disorder or a substance use disorder that can better explain the kind of symptoms or problems that you're having. That's ADHD. It presents either as a combined with inattention or hyperactivity impulsivity. It can be predominantly one or the other. All right, and that's all I want to say about the diagnosis. You know, most people who get diagnoses get it off of the internet. I was reading this morning that there have been 28 billion views of different reels or articles about ADHD on the internet, places like TikTok and things like that. That's where most people get most of the information that they get about this subject. 28 million of them. 28 billion. It wasn't 28 million. It was 28 billion times people have looked at this stuff. And the folks who are writing said that at least half of the presentations are wrong. You know, so half the information they're getting is not very good and not very useful. Now, what can I say about adult ADHD? Well, I can tell you in 1970 it didn't exist. You know, how can we go from 1970 to present to the current level of number of adults who are presenting in doctor's offices wanting to be helped or treated? And when 50 years ago we didn't even have this problem. Well, there are probably lots of very good reasons, but at this point in time, the folks who do statistics suspect that 25% of adults in the United States at least think they have ADHD. And from 2020 to 2022, the diagnosis nearly doubled among women. Women seem to be the largest growing number of individuals who are getting the diagnosis, and particularly those between the ages of 23 to 49. So that is ADHD. How is it treated? Well, it probably for most individuals, first line treatment is amphetamines. It shouldn't be, but that's the way it is. Why is it that way? And I can tell you that when people come to the office and they want to talk to me about ADHD, I'm trying to figure out a way for them to get help that doesn't include them ending up on a controlled substance. But as I often, you know, I'll say, well, I can do this for you. We can send you to talk to someone who may be able to help you learn how to deal with this, or you can be on a prescription. Of course, how, you know, what do you think the percentage of people is by the time they get to my office what do you think they're going to choose, most of them? Yeah, and I won't write prescriptions for medicines for ADHD most of the time. I don't I don't do it. And I do it because I think it is a risk for the